Dr. Ahmad Amous, welcome to the Freedom Footprint Show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, good to see you again. I guess last time I saw you was in Miami.
Miami, yeah, Bitcoin conference.
Yeah. All good fun there. Good little barbecue at a friend's house. Yeah. Tell our listeners who you are, please, Ahmad, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, so I'm a physician. I trained in internal medicine. I did my medical school in Lebanon, and then I came for specialization in the U.S., and that's where I work right now. My career in medicine has been, I would say, just very disappointing. Once I was in medical school, I understood that the system is not meant to make anyone better. It's just meant to keep clients in. And once I started realizing that, and at the same time, understanding Bitcoin and understanding fiat, I just understood that the entire system is very broken, and I'm trying to just raise awareness about that.
Yeah. You have a brother that has written a word or two about Bitcoin.
Yeah, he knows a little bit about Bitcoin and about fiat. So,
yeah, I guess it's sort of unavoidable to do a deep dive on the topic.
100%.
So what's your specialization?
I trained in internal medicine. I work as a primary care physician in a hospital here in Massachusetts. So I kind of deal with everything. I see all kinds of patients.
Yeah. So to a European, when we envision an American hospital, people are either obese, they're overdosing on drugs, or they have a gunshot wound. So which is the bigger problem?
Just about right. Not that many gunshot wounds anymore, I would say, but a lot of fat and opioid addicted people, unfortunately.
So the opioid epidemic, is that a product of fiat in your mind? Like, what causes that?
It's definitely a product of fiat. It was basically a company that really wanted to make more money, and they decided to put on a drug on the market that was dangerous. This is OxyContin. So OxyContin was put on the market. They publicized it as being safe and effective for its purpose, but even though it wasn't. And they had some connections with the people in the FDA who approved this. And it ended up being on the streets, and it ended up causing people to be addicted. And it was basically as bad as the crack epidemic here in the US, where it was just destroying households, destroying lives, people overdosing. And so now physicians have gone away from prescribing OxyContin because they realized that it just causes long-term addiction. But there's still a lot of people who are struggling from that. There's still a lot of people that are opioid dependent. And I see them in the hospital every day. They just come in and they're complaining of various things, but all they want is morphine this is the only purpose of their lives, unfortunately. And it's quite sad.
Yeah, I'm curious, in your mind, is this a product of fiat, and how would it be better on a sound money standard and on a more like Rothbardian society? How would opioid addiction go away?
The centrally planned medicine where the treatment is coming from a society that's telling you this is what you have to use, and once it's one society that's controlling which drug and which type of therapy we need to put out there, that's very easy to get captured.
Yeah.
While if it was a free society where doctors get to experiment and say what works for them versus what doesn't, it would be a very different story. So all of a sudden, the FDA is telling people that OxyContin is safe. And then this company who's going to make a lot of money out of it is selling this to people. This is how fiat starts. And it's difficult with medicine to just pinpoint it on one single event without understanding the past of it and how we got to the point where we are right now. And the main point is, why are we just dependent on pharmaceutical medicine? Why is that the standard of care? And once you read the history, especially in the US, you understand that this wasn't a product of the free market. This was a product of a centrally planned project to get people, the standard of care is pharmaceutical drugs. And it started in 1910. The Rockefeller Foundation at that point, which had a, which had control over all pharmaceutical, petroleum-based products, they basically hired this guy called Flexner. And Flexner, who was a high school teacher, came up with a report that said medical education in the U.S. Is broken and needs to be fixed. And when he did that, his project to improve it was to close any medical school that taught any non-standard, non-scientific medicine. And for them, any non-scientific is anything that's not based on pharmacology and based on pharmaceutical treatments. And so all of a sudden, all these alternative schools of medicine, including osteopathy, homeopathy, natural medicine, they were all considered illegal and they were shut down. And that's basically the start of fiat. This is a very, I mean, Austrian economists like to talk about this, but this started around the time when the Federal Reserve was created. Because in order to get the power to close the medical schools down and put people in jail for practicing any alternative medicine or all of that, you need a government with guns to do that. And the only way you can get a government like that is if you have a Federal Reserve funding it. And that's the core of the problem, I think.
Yeah. I grew up in Sweden, where the healthcare system is very socialized, you know, and social democrats have been in power for like 70 years. And if it's not them, it's just like the social democrat version of some other party. So it's, I grew up with a system where they basically told you there's nothing wrong with you, go home, most of the time, because they didn't want to deal with patients. And once you got into the care, and once you actually got to a doctor, then the care was the Medicare was fine, but it's sort of you had to like pretend that you were dying in order to get care at all. So that system is obviously not right, and I think like a free market system where with inflationary currencies you get this phenomenon of you don't know if the doctor is just saving up for a new yacht or not, and he's trying to sell you as much drugs as possible. Yeah, hopefully on a sound money standard, there can be something else and people will have to think for themselves more, because I think that's the crux of the problem, like outsourcing thinking to someone else. Because of course, with alternative medicine, there's a lot of bullshit as well. Like 100%. There's a lot of snake oil salesmen out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a complicated topic that it's no central agency is going to be able to determine what works for people. Just leave it up to the free market.
Yeah, if there was ever a cure all for something, it's that, right?
There exactly.
Funnily enough, there is a super medicine for the economy, and that's just don't meddle with it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with medicine, where you draw the line and what treatments you can offer, it's so variable. Like, if someone has knee pain, are we going to go and test everything out there? Do we need to do an X-ray and an MRI and get blood tests on the patient? And that question should be different for someone who is an office worker versus someone who's a soccer striker, you know? His knee is very more important to him. And so that you leave that up to the market. It shouldn't be an insurance system that covers everything. Because at that point, the tests and the treatments we can offer are limitless. And this is why these systems are so inefficient, because they want to give everyone everything to everyone. But who gets to determine that? When? Why?
I mean, picking your own health insurance on the free market would solve that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's so... And what I find so fascinating about medicine is that we have these hospitals and these people in green robes, and we're somehow supposed to think that they're all knowing and all powerful, and that they are the ones that have the answers for this and that, even though like it's just a building that someone poured a lot of money into, and it's just a green robe. It doesn't make you a superhuman. And just because you have a university degree, like, of course, this is not to diss doctors as a profession, I mean, there's still so much we don't know about the human body, and especially not about a specific human body. And as you say, treat people for like they are. Treat the football player one way and the office worker another is probably 100%. Right.
Maybe you can explain a little bit further why all of this stuff actually comes back to the fiat problem, though, because I think there's still a little bit of a disconnect here, not getting all the way from the start of the problem to the effects. Maybe you can explain that just in a little bit more detail.
Yeah, I mean, so ideally, if you get sick, you want different opinions on your illness. I mean, pharmaceutical drugs could be an answer, but maybe what you need is some chiropractor or osteopath to do a physical maneuver for you that is going to solve the problem. Maybe what you need is a natural treatment. Maybe you need to be out in nature and get sunshine. Why is pharmaceutical treatment the only option available for most people? Why are the other considered quacks and not recommended or also always not covered by insurance? And the reason is because there was an agenda to prevent that. And it all starts with the beginning of the progressive era, which Strothbart talks about. And at that point in the US, there was a lot of very powerful industries that wanted to remain in power. And they did that by convincing government that in order for us to remain in power, you have to convince people that, oh, there are certain measures that need to be taken, basically to take them out from competition in the free market. And this is the beginning of the progressive era in the early 1900s, is basically the beginning of when the American Medical Association, the American Dietetics Association, all these associations that were there to maintain a monopoly on business, how it was run then, was created. And so anyone who practices outside the standard norm, which is pharmaceutical medicine, is considered a quack and put in jail or prosecuted. And I mean, it's expensive to do that. It's not, if it works against the market forces, if there are people that are being helped by this homeopath or by this osteopath, and he is finding people helpful, it's expensive to try and convince people not to go to him and make him illegal and stuff. And where is this money coming from? Where is this political effort coming from? It's coming from fiat. It's not based on the market force. The market force saying that some people find this guy helpful. They've been using homeopathy for hundreds of years, but all of a sudden now he's a quack and he's illegal. And that was the creation of fiat.
What's your opinion about the placebo effect and the nocebo effect? How does that play into all of this?
Very, very powerful. I mean, if you talk to old school physicians, if you read their books and stuff, they tell you that a lot of medicine is basically just you talking to a patient and making them feel better about themselves and making them, you know, telling them that this problem is not killing you and you can get over it. And the body is able to heal itself when you do that. And so, yeah. And
so you're all quacks.
Only 100%. The problem with modern medicine is that it wants to do quackery, but with pharmaceutical drugs that are actually toxic. So say you go to a homeopath, he gives you an chamomile extract. Chances are that this is working through a placebo effect. You go to a standard physician, he's giving you a pharmaceutical drug that's giving you tons of side effects. And so it's causing more harm than it is good. If it's going to work, it's probably going to work because of the placebo effect. But you are harming people by doing that.
Yeah, so they want to keep you sick, basically.
They want to keep you sick, yes. And this is the thing, is all these medications are, they're not used to just heal things and you get over with it. It's meant to be a lifetime subscription, which is a lot more expensive.
Of course. So what's the story in other countries, like the FDA in the US and how that's connected to the Fed? The Fed, that's one thing. But how did it come to, like, why are hospitals so similar across the globe? Why do all of them have big buildings and green robes and a national health institute governing what they shouldn't say? Is this the same problem everywhere?
I haven't done that much work on Europe and the rest of the world, but from what I've read is basically that model was used by the WHO and spread to the rest of the world in the 70s. And they basically publish it as, again, we need this, the scientific method to be, we only need to follow the scientific method. And where they mean scientific method, they mean pharmaceutical method. And that's how they shut down other schools of thought, and that's how they become quacks and alternative treatments, you know?
Yeah, you said something about going into the sun as a remedy there before. I saw your excellent thread about the sun on X the other day. Like, can you give us the TLDR on that? There was it started with something like you're 338 times more likely to die from no sun exposure than from sun exposure.
Yeah, the sun exposure thing might be a bigger scam than even diet. If you ask any dermatologist or any eye doctor, the first thing they're telling you is need to avoid the sun, which really doesn't make any sense because as humans, we've always lived in the sun. And what they use to justify that is a certain rates of skin cancer do increase with increased sun exposure. However, these cancers are usually non-lethal, the ones that are increased by sun exposure. And actually, the lethal ones like melanoma are worse if you're not exposed to the sun. This is forgetting about all the other chronic conditions which get better if you are exposed to the sun, or you avoid getting them, such as diabetes and hypertension and the rest of solid tumors, which by getting in the sun, you reduce your risk of getting them. Again, I mean, how conspiratorial you want to get depends on you, but I think that the medical system really wants to make us sick. And if it's not, if they're not attempting to make us sick, then at least they're selling a lot of sunscreen by keeping that propaganda going.
Speaking of sunscreen, I've heard that is a product that was invented by oil companies for like certain kinds of oils that couldn't be sold as motor oils, couldn't be sold as cooking oils. So they had to figure out a way to sell them. And the sunscreen is, of course, that's a no-brainer. Oh, the sun is dangerous and you should put this on instead. And I even saw a study once claiming that sun blockers themselves are more cancerogenic than the sun. I wouldn't claim to be an expert, but
yeah, there are studies in Australia where Australia has one of the highest risks of highest rates of skin cancer in the world, and their rates of skin cancer have been steadily going up, but at the same time, the rates of sunscreen use have been going up. So something's wrong over there, you know?
Anyone who confuses with correlation with causation will eventually die.
100%.
But I don't know what I meant by that. But yeah. No, Australia is it's an interesting example. I mean, yeah, this goes into everything. And Bitcoiners... Like this is a risk I see, because many Bitcoiners, when you figure out how big of a bad fiat is and what it has done to the world, and how basically since before the First World War we've been in this lie where history is colored by this toxic money that has changed the I mean, the history is written by the winners, right? And the winners were really evil people who printed money, counterfeiters. So history is written by counterfeiters. So I see a lot of Bitcoiners, as soon as they like figure out how deep the lies are and how bad the state really is, they start clinging on to all sorts of conspiracy theories, and they take the extreme opposite view instead. So all of a sudden, okay, everything the government says is wrong, therefore Alex Jones is right about everything. And that's, to me, there's a danger there as well, that this is, this pendulum effect that, okay, so let's throw all science out with the bathwater here and just replace it with free market solves everything. So what are your views there? How can you guard yourself from taking a too unscientific approach? How can you avoid the quackery and the snake oil salesmen that are not a product of fiat necessarily, but still quacks?
I mean, we shouldn't forget how advances in medicine in the 20th century were just revolutionary in, you know, extending people's lifespan. Our modern life, as we take it for granted now, is not possible without antibiotics. You know, people used to get a tooth infection and end up dead. Now that's not even a consideration. So we shouldn't forget how useful modern medicine is with that regards. Also, modern medicine is very, very good at dealing with acute trauma. Someone get into a car accident, very good at surgically fixing that and stuff. But it has its limitations. Its handling of chronic disease is very faulty. And it comes down to the fact that just because it worked very well for pharmaceutical medicines to look at a certain bacteria and kill that with an antibiotic, they thought that chronic disease, something like diabetes, is going to be, oh, there's a defect somewhere in the signaling system in diabetes that if we get a drug to target a certain part of that signaling mechanism, will be able to stop the disease. But that's a very faulty way of looking at it, because that signaling mechanism is responsible for hundreds of other functions in the body. So when you target it just to target diabetes, you're affecting it and causing so many other side effects in the body. So this is where the fault of modern medicine is. How to avoid quackery? Again, I mean, we live in a time where you have so many online resources and so many people out there putting statements about things. And it's becoming clear that online things that are useful to people do make it to the top, you know. And it's hopefully a matter of time before fiat ends, where medical treatments also become part of that, you know. If there's 1,000 people that had this condition and they found that this herbal treatment was useful for them, there's going to be enough talk on it online to get us to the point where we want. And I mean, the function of government shouldn't be to handle all quacks and stuff. Let the quacks publish whatever they want to publish, and the market will decide if they're quacks or not. Like if you want to compare it to restaurants, like I guess you wouldn't mind if the government is making sure that all restaurants are clean and stuff. But what governments are doing right now in medicine is like they're only allowing a certain type of food in restaurants, which is pharmaceutical medicine. And so we're only allowing Chinese food, no French food, no Italian food, no pasta, no pizza. And this is why we are in the mess we are. Leave it up to the free market. If there's a quack that's not helping people, he won't get publicity.
Yeah. I'm not sure I want the government to meddle with the safety of the restaurant either, because like a restaurant who's killing its customers usually runs out of business pretty fast. So I would suggest the free market is better at that too. I have a story about I have a brother that's the head chef of a restaurant, and they had the health authorities at that restaurant to check that everything was okay. So about 8 people from this gray government agency, and the restaurant got like 3, you know, bad points or whatever you call them. You have to fix this, you have to fix that, you have to fix this. They found three errors of some kind, like this is not healthy enough. And after they were done and had like not okayed the place, they called up and ordered a table for the next night. So it was good enough for them. And it's like, all right, so normal people can't eat here, but you can. So it's very, and I think that's very more common practice than not. I used to work in the shipping industry, and this was the same with these people to inspect the ships. Sometimes there were even people left a patch of rust or something for them to find in order for them to have something to fill out on their form and find something that was easy to fix. Because otherwise they would just come up with something. Because if you employ someone to find an error, that guy is going to find an error. It's like the same thing with airport safety. If they don't, you know, harass a person every now and then they're not doing their job correctly. So it's all about incentives, right?
Yeah. I mean, the sad thing with medicine is that medicine has become so fiat that, I mean, even you see like the highest, the best trained Harvard doctors and their family members get sick and they're only given the option of fiat treatments. And it's sad. It's sad. I mean, it's the crop of the crop in medicine, but they're still doing things that, I mean, if you go down Facebook rabbit holes, there's natural treatments to fix these things that are far better than what Harvard Medical School is offering. But that's fiat.
So what is plastic surgery and Botox injections? Like, that's a Botox is like a neuro toxin, right? That women voluntarily inject into their lips. How is that such a big thing in the States? Like when I see American women, I'm like, what's wrong with these people? Why do they do this to themselves? So they look like car accident victims. Like, yeah, it's so weird.
It's one of the, it's actually the most potent toxin in the world. But I mean, they use such small doses that dose is not enough to cause like body toxicity. It just causes that muscle to basically get paralyzed. And I mean, it's part of the fiat thing is if we are gonna teach people to prevent wrinkles and have healthy skin, which involves eating well, being in the sun, avoiding sunscreen, then we won't be able to sell them the solution to wrinkles, which is Botox, which is quite lucrative. And again, that's part of the same cycle.
I think it's also this eternal youth fantasy that people seem to be living in, that aging is somehow should somehow be avoided. Like, I mean, you're the age you are. Like, be happy with your age. You're gonna get wrinkles sooner or later. I mean, and they're not ugly per definition. Like, I think the whole attitude, and I suspect that's connected to fiat too. This. And if you go back in 50 to 100 years, like people were more courteous to the elderly. And like if the an old person walked onto a bus, you usually gave away your seat to them. And like you treated your elders with more dignity and respect than people do today. And that's probably also a function of this move fast and break things thing.
Yeah, I mean, that comes with fiat. Instagram too, like Instagram has done wonders to the plastic surgery industry, you know? looking good after those filters is very important. And there are plastic surgeons out there that are willing to give you that product.
We're thrilled to introduce our new sponsor, the Bitbox 02 Bitcoin Only Edition.
Bitbox.
It's fully open source, Swiss engineered, and Bitcoin only forever. The device only supports Bitcoin, which means less code, less attack surface, and improved security for your Bitcoin. Check out the Bitbox 02 Bitcoin Only Edition at bitbox.swiss/freedom.
And use code freedom for...
and use code FREEDOM for 5% off.
Here's an idea for you. Come and see me and Luke in Prague, my favorite European city.
With over 100 world-class speakers and the chance to meet more than 100 leading Bitcoin companies, this is where ideas flourish, connections are made, and Bitcoin's path forward is forged together with 10,000 enthusiasts and professionals.
In Prague, people have been fighting for freedom since forever. So it's only natural that Prague is the Bitcoin capital of Europe. You should be there.
With 3 days of keynotes, panels, and side events, BTC Prague is the place to be for pure Bitcoin-only signal.
And the beer is just fantastic.
Use discount code FREEDOM for 10% off your ticket and another 5% discount if you pay with Bitcoin.
So remember, use code FREEDOM and see you in Prague. So let's get into the taboo topic, that the so-called pandemic that happened a couple of years back, where we were told to do all sorts of strange things. Like, what's your view on that? How did that come to be, and what powers were at play? How did it get so weird, and why aren't we remembering it afterwards? Why are people like collectively forgetting about it?
Yeah. So the sad thing about the pandemic, for me personally, is that I understood the medical system. I understood how dark the medical system is. That I wasn't surprised at what happened with COVID. You know, I sort of saw it coming. I knew that they would use something like that to their advantage. There was a new illness. So I was in New York City when it started, and there was definitely a new illness that we have not seen before that was getting people very sick, and people were dying from it at the beginning. There was a peak when we first started seeing cases where the hospital was full of COVID patients. And then after that peak was gone, there was a complete lockdown. So there were just no cases. And then there was another peak where the hospital was completely full. And that was basically all from the side effects of the injections. And very few people want to talk about that, but this is the reality of the situation. There were definitely some therapeutics that were helpful for the cases that were getting very sick. Nobody wanted to talk about that because you could not patent that. You cannot make money out of that. And also the emergency use authorizations for the injections would not be valid if there was an actual treatment available for the medication. And so this was all the talk about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Because if these were published as being able to treat COVID, then you couldn't get an emergency use authorization for the injections. And an emergency use authorization, what it allowed is this product would be released after a short period of testing only, and the companies would not be legally liable to any side effects that would happen from them. So it was a double win situation. And that's why all these alternative treatments were not looked into. And again, I mean, going back into how fiat medicine works, I mean, there are people that reported that giving people high dose IV vitamin C was very helpful for these COVID patients. But again, because this vitamin C is not something you can patent, it's not a pharmaceutical medication. It's not something we're going to test and we're going to look into. It's pretty crazy when you're in the hospital, you're seeing hundreds of COVID patients die around you, and none of the fiat doctors around you even consider things like that, you know? Some of the most closed-minded people I've dealt with are doctors, in that they only practice what they're told, you know? And nobody is looking into, if you have a cold, you take some vitamin C, you feel better. Why not think about, maybe that would work for someone with COVID? But unfortunately, the fiat system just maintains this charade.
Yeah, that's what I took. I took vitamin C and paracetamol when I had COVID. And yeah, it was a rough 2 weeks, sure. But I did what I always do when I get a cold, which is vitamin C and paracetamol mostly. not much else. Maybe a tea with honey in it or something, like herbal tea.
Yeah. I mean, again, also all the people that were dying from COVID in New York City when I was there were people that had a lot of comorbidities. They were either obese, had chronic conditions. And so these people's immune system is already compromised. But I mean, we've reached a point with fiat medicine where we don't consider someone who's obese and someone who's diabetic to be immunocompromised, because this is the standard norm. This is the majority of the patients we see, that we're no longer thinking about, so how do we prevent this person from staying obese, you know? And there's no conversation about that. There's conversation of what product can we release out there that can make money off of his illness.
Yeah. And there was some confusion about dying of COVID and dying with COVID. You know, the statistics were fucked.
The way it was in my hospital, you were kind of incentivized somehow to declare COVID as the cause of death. Because at that point, the government was giving more subsidies and more repayment if COVID was the cause of death. So if somebody wasn't even tested, but you had suspicion that he might have had COVID, you declare COVID as the cause of death. How many of the numbers of deaths are due to that? Not clear.
No, it's a weird time. And like, I traveled during late stage COVID a lot. And like in one airport, you were completely forced to wear a mask everywhere. And when you flew to the next airport, no one was wearing a mask. So it was a very weird time. Like, how is this going to do anything to except just annoy people? And those tests and everything, think about the man hours lost in doing all this bullshit. Like, and people caught it anyway. And it's like, so you just had the same development of a pandemic just play out over a different timeline. But it's still, end result is probably, I don't know how many lives that saved. And if you think about a human life in... if you take a human life is 80 years or something, and you count all the hours spent in lines for getting the tests and in lines for going through the safety check in the airport and in years spent in bureaucracy, and you add them up, like how many lifetimes do you steal by introducing these things? Like that's the statistic I would like to see. So like, is it worth it? Well, do the calculation. If you're going to centrally plan, do it properly then and see how much time am I stealing? How much lifetime am I? How many people am I killing by introducing bureaucracy into the equation in the first place? And that part of the equation is never, ever there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the point of this is not to make you live longer. The point of this is to keep you under control. And it's only a matter of time before the next pandemic is around the corner, and what they do with that one is going to be interesting.
Do you think that will be a pandemic or something else? Like, could it be a computer virus that the first computer pandemic, or is it aliens, or what is it next time? I'm so keen to see what they come up with.
I don't know if you follow Whitney Webb at all, but she talks that basically, a breakdown of the internet is coming up soon. So that would be interesting.
Yeah, she's interesting. I've seen her on a couple of pods. She's paints a very bleak picture of what's going on. And I might not subscribe to all of it, but most of it. I mean, she's got a point or two. Definitely.
She got a point or two. I don't think she understands Bitcoin that well, though, because she thinks that Bitcoin is still being able to be controlled by these dark forces.
And it's not.
It's not.
Another funny thing about COVID that I heard, I'm just asking you about it, if you heard anything like it, is that smokers, chain smokers, were actually more likely to survive because the virus couldn't sort of attached to the bottom of the lungs, right? There was something about the cell connecting to another. And when your lungs were already destroyed by years of smoking, the virus couldn't get you, at least not the late stage COVID, which was the thing that people died from.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about
that? I've heard about that. It has to do something with the nicotinamide, which is activated by nicotine receptors in the lung. It's a deep rabbit hole. I haven't explored it deeply, but I mean, there are interesting theories out there in the internet, which if you look at the smoking in general, the rates of lung cancer have exponentially increased over the last maybe like 70 years. And that was since the introduction of pesticides on tobacco leaves. And it's likely that most of the bad things that we get from tobacco are not from the tobacco itself, but rather from the pesticides that are put on it. So, I mean, because people have been smoking for a very long time. I don't know if chain smoking is necessary. Like, that probably is not good for you. But, I mean, Native Americans have been smoking tobacco for a very long time. So this is another fiat thing that... it's an interesting rabbit hole to go down. I'm not encouraging anyone to smoke. I'm just pointing out some things I read on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to smoke, there is organic tobacco out there that doesn't have any pesticides on it. And also organic like rolling paper and stuff. So.
Yeah, there's tons of rabbit holes here, of course. And like, it's hard to separate like, stuff, since everything's so intertwined in fiat land, one poisonous thing poisons another. Like, even if you eat good meat, like, how can you be sure that the grass-fed cow has been eating wasn't like full of pesticides too? And like, of course, at least it has gone through the filtration mechanism of a cow, but you know, everything's connected.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, and it's definitely something that is concerning. I mean, but the main thing, and I think fiat medicine destroys that, is once you get to a point where you're healthy enough and you basically off sugar and off pharmaceutical drugs, and you are getting enough sun that your circadian rhythm is in line, you get to the point where you can sense what things are good for you and what are not. And this is the point when you basically don't need a doctor. And this is the point where really that would destroy our modern medical system. But I think this is the point where people should aspire to be, is you understand your body well enough that you can understand what it needs at any certain point. You understand what you need to do when you get sick, etc. And the body has an inherent intelligence in it where it can heal itself when it gets sick. You know, animals in the wild, they get sick, they just take a day off, they just sit in the shade, they fast, and the next day they're back to normal. And this is how humans are too. But fiat doesn't want you to know that. The idea of having a primary care physician who handles everything medically with you, that's a very fiat idea. You only need a doctor if you're very sick and you know, you can't figure out what's going on, but most people don't need a doctor.
Here in Europe, it's usually that you don't even get one doctor assigned to you, but you get a new doctor every time you're in the hospital, because they don't follow up. They follow up each other's patients. And I always found that strange. Like, why am I not seeing the same guy? It's obviously got more, a better understanding of who I am and what I need, but that's not the way it works.
Yeah, the system puts no emphasis on the human aspect of it, where, I mean, if you go to a doctor for a few years and you're comfortable with him and he becomes like, you know, like a friend, and you can confide with him and you look forward to seeing him, etc. That has no role in fiat. There's no emphasis on that in fiat.
We're now partnered with the Bitcoin Advisor, your best choice for collaborative multi-sig custody. The Bitcoin Advisor guides you every step of the way, from taking self-custody of your Bitcoin to securing it in their multi-sig vaults. Estate planning and inheritance is built in, so your loved ones can have peace of mind.
And you know what the best part is? Me and Luke are Bitcoin Advisors, so you can contact us. We can advise you about Bitcoin and Bitcoin custody, how to make custard, anything really. We're Bitcoin Advisors.
So visit us at thebitcoinadvisor.com/freedom or send us a DM or email to get started.
Contact us within 2 weeks and we'll throw in a free set of steak knives.
Maybe.
The show is also sponsored by Orange Pill App, the Bitcoin-only social network where you can stack friends who stack sats. Make local connections and find all the nearby meetups, see what's going on in your area, and connect with Bitcoiners around you. And now, with a brand new merchant section, it's easier than ever to find and connect with local businesses that accept Bitcoin.
The best part about Orange Pill App is that you know that it's high signal because you're paying for Orange Pill App, and so is everyone else. There are no Asian ladies asking you how your trade is going on Orange Pill App because it's not a trading app. It's a dating app. Is it a dating app?
So download the Orange Pill App on Apple or Android, send us a DM, and start building your local network of Bitcoiners.
All right. So from one thing to another, is there a fiat medicine book coming at some point? And are you working on?
I'm thinking about it. I find my reward more in seeing patients than in writing. So that's what I'm working on. I'm working on getting my own online consulting service going. This is going to be where I put most of my emphasis. And it's not going to be complicated. It's just going to be telling people what they need to eat, how they need to fix their circadian rhythm, how they need to move, and how they need to cut out medications from their lives.
Speaking of circadian rhythm, how dangerous is like electric light? How much did that destroy all of our circadian rhythms? And I guess, you know, phone screens are even worse, but like, are you supposed to turn off your lights when the sun goes down? Depending on where you live, of course.
For me personally, the first step that started all of this for me was when I cut sugar and carbohydrates from my diet, and I became very healthy with that. I moved from, you know, being at a 2 out of 10 health to 8 out of 10. The next step to take it to the next level was when I fixed my circadian rhythm. And the main thing about that is you want your brightest hours to be before sunset. For most people, that's not true. Their brightest hours are after sunset. And so artificial light, blue lights from screens or from LED lights, they transmit blue light, and blue light is present in sunlight, and its main function is to control circadian rhythm. So if there's blue light present, your body perceives it as it's the sunlight and that is still day. If there's no blue light, then it's dark and it's bedtime.
Okay.
So it's difficult to do with modern life because a lot of people still have responsibilities to do after sunset. So it's difficult to be completely dark. There are ways around it. I mean, you want your house to be as dark as possible. If you can cut down on the number of lamps that you have on, that helps. There are softwares that you can put on your laptop, on your phone, that block blue light. There's something called Flux that's very helpful. It automatically sees when the sunset is and puts that filter on. Also, blue light blocking glasses, which kind of sound like a scam, but they are actually very helpful because they allow you to have the light come in, but your main sensor of circadian rhythm is your eyes. And so it blocks the blue light and allows you to there's better control of your circadian rhythm that way. And in general, if possible, it's better to replace your LED lamps at home with the incandescent bulbs, the old school bulbs, because those have less blue light coming out of them.
Yeah, that was also a strange government intervention thing when they started banning the old school light bulbs. Happened all over Europe. I don't know how that played out in the US.
It's
weird thing because like...
they're basically illegal here.
Yeah. Such a weird chain of events. It's like it reminds me of after Chernobyl when, studying nuclear was forbidden for like 20 years. Like it wasn't even allowed to study how it worked. Like, what good is that going to do?
So maybe to try to bring this into an optimistic note, how does Bitcoin fix all this?
So how does Bitcoin fix this? First of all, the lack of third party handling your payments makes it more of a direct relationship with your physician. And if you like what your physician is doing, but his hospital doesn't like what he's doing, then you can just pay him directly. And that is going to reduce the power of third parties like hospitals, those huge clinic sites. And it's going to be a direct doctor to patient relationship. That's one. The second part of it is, again, the suppression of alternative medical cures is only possible if there's a fiat money printer sponsoring governments that are going after this agenda. And once we're on a Bitcoin standard, there's no loose fiat floating around, then there's not going to be any room for that. And so I'm hopeful for the future.
Yeah, so are we. I mean, it's all about ending the era of centralization, right? And of central planning. Because like the US, make no mistake, it's a centrally planned economy because it has a money printer on top of everything else. So it's a commie country. most people don't realize it.
Yes, centrally planned country, centrally planned medicine, centrally planned education, the whole lot. I mean, I work in a hospital in Massachusetts. This area is known to have some of the best hospitals in the country. And it's crazy. Like, you go to these hospitals, it's kind of like walking into Armageddon. You know, there's all these hospitals are filled to the rim. There's people like sleeping in the hallways. There's always what they call like code disaster, where there's just more patients in the hospital than the hospital can absorb, all these things. And that just talks about inefficiency in the market, just talks about something that's centrally planned. All of this, the hospitals are like overbooked and they don't have they don't have empty rooms and all of that. But at the same time, the hospitals are going bankrupt. Because again, this is centrally planned and it's inefficient, and we have to do everything for every patient. And
same thing in Europe with the hospitals are running out of money. So many, and especially like if it's state run, they have to go over their budget every year. They have an incentive to do so in order to get the same amount of money next year or more. Because no government-run entity ever wants to grow smaller. They always want more, right? So they need to exceed their budget like every other institution. So they grow like cancers. The state needs chemotherapy and to kill the cancer cells. And the chemotherapy is Bitcoin. It's going to be rough for some public sector people, but it's the remedy they need. You need to rid the system of the leukemia of the monetary cardiovascular system is suffering from fiat leukemia, and that's what needs to be cured.
100%.
So I think we're pretty much winding down here. So is there anything else you'd like to mention? Anything we haven't covered that you wanted to talk about?
No, I mean, I guess this is everything. This was pretty comprehensive. Again, I encourage people to be their own physician. I encourage people to understand their bodies well. This is the best medicine out there. There's a lot of stuff on the internet that's helpful for people that want to understand more about diet and about circadian rhythm and all of that. And health is not very difficult to attain. You know, as they say, diseases are many, but health is one. And if you want to understand how to live healthy, it's not very difficult to do.
Good tips.
Yeah, fantastic. So with that, is there anywhere you'd like to direct our listeners to follow you or find out more about your ideas and your work?
Yeah, so my Twitter is AmousMD. That's where I ramble about things like this. And I will soon be starting my own newsletter, so that should be interesting. It should be also less politically correct stuff, so that should be good.
Looking forward to that a lot.
Thank you.
And yeah, say hi to Say from us, and great conversation. Great to have you here. Good luck with all of it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being with you.
Fantastic. Likewise. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. And this has been the Freedom Footprint Show. Thanks for listening.